is on.
Yeah. It was really interesting. I was getting ready to come to the class, and I live on the 8th floor, and I got on the elevator and punched one because I need to go to the basement. The elevator took me down to floor number one. So I pushed the button. Thought it was gonna take me on down to the basement. It took me up to the 11th floor. I pushed the button again, and then it took me down to the 5th floor. Every floor that it opened up on, there was nobody there. Now, this whole little adventure I'm having, there's nobody else. It went to the 11th floor. It opens up. Nobody's there. Then he goes down to the 5th floor, and I push basement again. Open up. Nobody's there. I go all the way, it takes me all the way back down. Yeah. Like I said, this takes me down to the 3rd floor. Open the door, nobody's there. So I pushed the button, pushed the B again, because it was going down. It took me all the way back up to the 11th floor.
Well, I knew I think you stayed on that elevator and not
got out. When I tried to go to the other, I got out to go to the other elevator and it didn't show up. So I waited. And finally the elevator that came was the same one I had been riding on. It opened up. It was kind of spooky. It was like some TV, like a movie that, you know.
Oh, man.
And so, anyway,
wow.
So I'm thinking, well, you know, I got to be in class, and I'm like watching this little thing and to see how I was going to feel,
wow. You
know. But I tell you,
she
took it down to, I got off at the 1st floor and then had to do a lot of stuff to get into the basement. Okay, so I'm like looking at the clock. Okay, it's 5 minutes to 7 o'clock. I said, now if all this goes just right, there won't be anybody to let them in the church. Because you know we got to get all this, we got to get everything just perfect. And anyway, I'm here. But it was really spooky.
I know.
He's just going up and down the elevator and stopping at every floor in a building full of people. Nobody there, but nobody gets on the elevator. But it's like somebody punches the button and it keeps stopping. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not scary as trying to cross Colfax. That's real terror. I'm going to do a section called The Body as a Means of Communication. I was just told to do it. It's terrifying to do it because it's one of those sections that kind of like knock everybody out, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay, it's on page 151, and I guarantee you, you're going to probably have an interesting response to this. The body is a means of communication.
Huh? One thing that's a lot of fun about the course is the definitions. So when the course says communication, it means joining. So you can look at it as the body as a means of joining. Attack is always physical. Page 151. Attack is always physical. When attack in any form enters your mind, you are equating yourself with the body. And since this is the wrong interpretation of the body, you don't have to attack physically to accept that you are equating yourself with a body every time you want to attack. You're accepting that you're just a body simply by the belief that attack can get you something that you want. If you didn't believe that attack could get you something that you wanted, the idea of attack would have no appeal for you. If you didn't believe attack could get you what you wanted, the idea of attack wouldn't have any appeal to you. If you didn't believe that attack could get you something that you want, the idea of attack would have no appeal for you. When you equate yourself with the body, you will always experience depression. When you equate yourself with the body, you will always experience depression. And when a child of God thinks of himself as a body, the child of God is belittling himself and seeing everybody else as similarly belittled. And since you can only find yourself in everybody else,
you're cutting yourself off from your own salvation. Have a nice day. Okay. For the attack of any form enters your mind, you're equating yourself with the body, because the part of you that doesn't love, the part of us that doesn't love us, sees that, thinks of us as a body that's supposed to be used to attack. So I think the purpose of my body is to attack when I'm full of fear. I think the purpose of the body is to attack when I'm full of fear. When I'm in my wrong mind, I think the purpose of my body is to kick some butt. And I think the purpose of my body is to let everybody know how I feel. Purpose of my body. Okay? And he says you're accepting this interpretation every time you believe that attack will get you something that you want. So believing that attack will get you what you want is the most limiting idea you can give yourself. Believing attack can give you what you want is the most limiting idea that you can give yourself. If your thought creates your reality and everything you experience is the result of your thought, if you want to create incredible things through your thought, and we are beings who believe that our thoughts, feelings, and emotions and beliefs create our reality, the most limiting idea that keeps you from happiness is the idea that attack, it will get you something that you want. And he says, if we didn't believe that attack wouldn't get us something that we wanted, then we wouldn't be attracted to it. So you're only attracted to something that you think is going to get you what you want. You're only attracted to something that you think is going to give you what you want. You're only attracted to something that you think is going to give you what you want. You're only attracted to something that you think you're going to get what you want out of it. You're only attracted to what you think is going to give you what you want. You're only attracted to what, that you could say, you're only attracted to who you think can give you what you want. You know, if you say you're attracted to another person, you're basically saying, oh my God, I think they can give me what I want. Give me your phone number. Okay, that's the way it works. I think you can give me what I want. Let's go out. Okay? And if you do this just right, I'll attack you with my body tonight. Yeah, I'm going to attack you. I'm going to attack you with my body in a way that you like. But I'll be hitting you just as hard. But it just be in a way that you like. Okay, now, he says, if we didn't believe that attack would get us what we want, then it wouldn't have any attraction to us. So there's a habit that you want to let go of. All you have to do to let go of it is to remind yourself that it's not going to give you what you want. You don't do it by calling it bad or good. You break the habit by telling you it's not going to give me what I want. And if it's not going to give me what I want, well, I'm already programmed to back away from that.
Yeah.
Okay. So then it says, that's what I love about quotes. It says, now if you really want to know where depression comes from, depression comes from you believing that you are you.
Yeah.
Depression comes from equating yourself with just being this little body that's trying to make sure he can get some food, get some money, pay his rent, see if he can get down that car, get him a shirt. And just his body, I'm hoping I can find somebody that will take care of it. Maybe sometimes it could be like, watch out for the car now, fucking burn the food. Oh, gotta be careful. How could we not be depressed? You have to get into now just to have a good day. If it wasn't for the now, we'd all shoot out there. I want to warn y'all that there's a very powerful force that's trying to come through me. And so, I might love you more. I just want to warn you. Okay. You know what the Course says is that the biggest fear we have is the fear of love. It's the thing we ask for the most, but it's the thing we're most terrified of. Okay, so I don't want to get off on that tangent talking about that. Talk about this. Okay, now. Sometimes I feel like if I say one more time that we need to love ourselves and see each other's innocent, I puke. Okay. You know, I mean, I've been saying it for 30 years.
We still need to hear that.
You're beautiful. You're wonderful. You deserve to be happy. And it's the truth. You know what I'm saying? It's the truth. You know. But sometimes you just, you know, you're just like... Okay, so the way that I'm going to get past that is I'm going to work out of the Course more, because when I work out of the Course, it's guaranteed to make me talk about things I don't ordinarily talk about. Okay, so when you, the reason why you're depressed is not because of anything other than you equating yourself with something that's limited. Then it says, when you look at yourself that way, you're belittling yourself. And since you're belittling yourself, you automatically belittle everyone else. So the way that I see me is the way I'm going to see you. So the minute I see me as limited, I'm going to also see you as limited. And this is a problem, because if I'm going to find my unlimitedness in you, if I'm going to find myself in you, if I'm going to find my love in you, if I'm going to find everything I'm looking for in our joining, well, how can I do that if I'm seeing you as all screwed up? It just doesn't help. You know? There's no payoff to seeing your Savior as a bastard. That's just like shooting the fireman when you're in a burning building. He's coming to get you out, and you shoot him. That's the way it is when we are in each other's presence and we don't shoot out love to each other. We're shooting the fireman. We're hating the very beings that's going to get us out of here. You know, I'm always wanting something that I'm afraid of. I want friends. I want love. I want relationships. I want connections. Then I'm just surrounded by people all the time that I don't even say anything to. So it proves I'm just kidding myself. That's just like saying you want a $10 bill and you're in a room full of thousands and you're going, I really want to have it, but it's just not anywhere available to me. You know, I want to have relationships. Look at all these folk in this room. But you know why you're not attracted to them? Because you don't see how they can get you something that you want. We in the room for the people we don't think can give us nothing we want. So we ain't attracted to nobody here. I guarantee you, I'd be ready to get it if I thought you could give me what I wanted. So that's what you call a spiritual class. It's a class where you have a bunch of people that you don't want nothing from, and you don't think can give you nothing. So that's just too true. That's the thing, ain't it? But you know that's the truth. I don't know. Somebody in here might be attracted to somebody here, because there could be somebody here that does see somebody as somebody that could give them what they want. And you'll find out after the class. But now they won't talk to you because of what I've seen. So go to match.com. The smartest thing anybody can do is just love on the person that they love. They show them appreciation all the time. So, which is easy to do when you really care about them. It's hell loving somebody that you can't stand. Okay, so let's talk about the Holy Spirit, because if I don't talk about the Holy Spirit, then this next part of this won't make much sense. Okay. Think of the ego as wrong-mindedness, and then think of the Holy Spirit as right-mindedness. That's all you got to do. Okay, so we just heard about wrong-mindedness. If you're in wrong-mindedness, you're using your body to attack, and you're thinking attack can get you something that you want, and you're depressed all the time, and you're belittling yourself, and you don't really see anybody else as very special either. You're a normal person. Okay. Now, when you, he said, now when you do the Holy Spirit, when you get into your right mind, you interpret the body only as a means of communication. And to make that really juicy, the court says it's a means of joining. My body is a way to join. When you look at me, you're looking at my means of communication. This is my means of communication. Okay. It says, being the communication link between God and His separated sons, the Holy Spirit interprets everything you've made in light of what love is. So when you're looking at yourself through your right mind, it interprets everything in a way that's loving. When you're in your right mind, no matter what's happening, you see it in a way that it frees you. I don't care what the situation is. When you're in your right mind, when you look at it, you'll see how it represents love, how it represents the truth, how it can free you. So no matter what the situation that you're in, because the Course says the ego, which is the part of us that's afraid and doesn't trust each other like we should, it separates through the body. So it's something like this. If I'm coming out of my right mind, then I'm going to use my body to tell you how beautiful and innocent you are, and to be very safe for you to be around and be very nurturing. And I want to connect with you to help you remember just how loving you are. So I'm using my body to say stuff like, you know, God, you got gorgeous eyes. See, I'm using it as a means of communication. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be safe all the time. See, that's a means of communication, but I'm using it through my right mind. Through the Holy Spirit. Now, if I'm using my body through my ego, I'll you're not enough. You make me sick. You're too stubborn. Tired of going through the same thing with you over and over again. When you come back, your bed's going to be on track. So now, I'm using my body to separate. I'm using my body to create separation. So he says the false man uses the body to create separation and fear. The right part of the man uses the body and uses it in light of love and freedom. So the Course says then the Holy Spirit is going to reach through my body. So the love is going to reach through my body to you. The truth is going to reach through my body to you. So that's what God should be saying. You know, I want love to reach through my body to you. I want love to reach through my body to you. I want love to reach through my body to you. And then he says, you don't perceive your brothers as the Holy Spirit does. You got that right. You know, he says, you don't see people the way God does. You don't perceive people the way love does. And then he says, then my mind goes, well, what does that mean? I don't see people the way the Holy Spirit does. He says, well, that means you don't look at bodies. You don't look at bodies solely as a means of joining minds. I don't look at my body as a means of joining minds. I tend not to think that much about joining with some minds. I'm not using my body to join minds. I'm trying to use my body to join the body. It's hilarious when you hear it correctly. That's the effect the truth have on you when you hear it correctly. When you hear it correctly, it's hilarious, you know, because you know it's so true.
Yeah.
He says, I don't regard my body as just a way to join and unite our minds and unite our thoughts. I don't look at my body as just a way to join our thinking. And then it says, this interpretation of the body will change your mind completely about its value. If you want to completely change your mind about the value of your body, just see your body as a way of joining, and it'll completely change your mind about the value of your body. Because if you don't want to use your body to join mind, the Course says, well, of itself, the body doesn't really have any value. It doesn't have any value until you use it for what it was made for. Your body won't have any value until you use it for what it was made for. The body is the soul and flesh. The body is the physical representation of who you really are. It's supposed to be a representative of you in the flesh. It's your representative. And don't you have your fantasy representative? Any thoughts about this? It's really quite simple. The only reason why we have our body is to bring us closer. The only reason why we have our bodies is to bring us closer. The only reason why we have our bodies is to communicate, to join with each other, is to connect with each other, is to support each other, is to acknowledge each other, is to appreciate each other. The only reason why you have a body is to join with everybody, to connect, to be a way for love to reach out through you to everybody around you. Your body is a means of joining and communicating and loving. And that's the only purpose of the body. And if you're not using it to bring you joy, your body doesn't have any value.
Earl, are you talking from a spiritual
level? What's so cool is that it's every level. The truth is real. The truth is on every level.
One of your classes, if you meet someone, someone is talking to the conscious level and take the body away. So I was wondering, like, when you're meeting someone, you're just using it as an instrument to get closer to do that mind.
Well, the main thing to remember is that unless you're using your body to join, then you don't really know how valuable your body is. In other words, I'm having the opportunity to do that with everybody in the room. This needs to be a class. We come together and read another book and go back out and do our thing. Or it could be a time when we come together to see if we mean any of the stuff that we read in any of these books. I said that over and over again. We can either start practicing this stuff with each other, or we can go from class to class, teacher to teacher, and book to book, and then call that learning. And it's not learning. It's just a form of spiritual masturbation. Or you can say, guess what? I'm going to try to remember today that the purpose of my body is to bring me joy and to let some joy reach out through my body to everybody around me. Then I'm going to use my body to join minds, and I'm going to stop using my body to be depressed and to attack with. And this is a perfect place to practice, because there's very few people here that I believe can give me what I want. And the person that you do think can give you what you want, you got to make sure that nobody else get nothing from them. Because there's a limited amount. There's only 3 quarts of love, and you want all 3 quarts. Okay, let's get to the thing. We think of love as this limited thing that is not enough to go around. And so when I get it, I better make sure nobody else gets it. And then it does the strangest thing. It appears to evaporate. Woo! Man, you sure can't be nourished off of last week's meal, can you? It's like, you know, it's like I got to keep doing it from moment to moment, day to day. I got to always give this stuff to myself. I can't use last week's truth to make me feel. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, I heard that once before. You don't go, I took one breath last week for the rest of my life. You go, I'm still breathing right now. So you got to keep telling yourself the truth over and 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 over. Because the minute you don't, you create a gap where this crap can come in. You create your own hole where the fear can seep in, because if you're focusing on the truth, then nothing else can get into your mind. And if nothing else is getting into your mind, then you only experience the truth, and the truth is love, and the truth is joy, and the truth is abundance, and the truth is happiness. You just don't leave room for nothing else. And the way you do that is to stop judging yourself for those feelings that are less than loving. If we could be in here today and feel every negative feeling that could ever come through us and feel like if we're okay with that, we'd be like on the verge of enlightenment. We go, you know what? I got some really cool, joyful thoughts, and that really feels good. And I got some fearful, crazy, insane thoughts, too. And that's where you'd be. Mm-hmm. I just thought I'd tell you that before you gave me that phone number. We have to lie, we wouldn't get a date. We wouldn't. You know we had our shadow side like as an insane relative in the closet. We don't let nobody know about our jealousies and insecurities and fears and stuff when we very first meet them. When we very first meet them, we are showing them what we'll eventually be after years of meditation and spiritual. It's like It's like the beginning is like the preview of coming attraction. If you can stick around, this will be the kind of person I'll be one day. This one is being so accepting of you right now, and so thrilled of this to be your boy. And don't think nothing wrong if you pick your toes at the table, and no matter what you do, everything is cool. I just love you. I just say, this is the way I'm going to be one day. But before I can be that way, I want to introduce you to my insane self, which I'll give you after sex. It's the least I could do. That's the least we could do. I hope it was worth it. Okay, let's see. Let me go do some more, because then I'll be talking about something I wouldn't normally say. Okay. If you use the body for attack, it is harmful to you. If you use the body for attack, it's harmful to you. If you use the body for attack, it's harmful to you. If you use the body for attack, it's harmful to you. If you use your body to attack with, it's harmful to you. If you use your body only to reach the minds of those who believe they are bodies. Okay, I got to reach the mind of you all think that you are bodies. I got to reach the mind of you who think you're bodies. You got to reach the mind of me who thinks I'm a body. So either I can use my body for attack and anger and upset and projection and blame, which is harmful to it, which explains why it deteriorates and dies. Okay, we don't realize we're killing our own body through the habitual insane thoughts that we carry and believe all the time. We believe it's coming from something outside in the environment. Mm-hmm. So the court says that, so you can either use it that, or you can say, I'm going to use my body to reach the minds of these people who believe that they are limited. I want to reach the minds of the people who believe that they're limited, and guess what I'm going to do? He says, what you're going to do is you're going to teach them through your body that they are not bodies, that they are not limited. So if you use your body to teach other people's minds that they are not limited, okay, the Course says when you do that, this is deep, says when you do that, that's when you will recognize the power of the mind that is inside of you. Like, the people keep reading books that talk about, I want to get in touch with the power of the mind. I want to get in touch with the power of the mind. Well, the Course in Miracles says the way that you get in touch with the power of the mind is to use your body to reach people's minds. Because when you're with a person, you're really with the mind. You're not really with the body. You're really with the mind. You're really with the way that person thinks. That's who you're with. You're with who that person thinks they are. So the Course is saying, if you're really smart, you're using your body to get to the person's mind. And you'll go something like, what do you think? What do you believe? What do you feel? What's important to you? What do you value? What do you want to do? See, I'm using my body to reach her mind because it's her value system and the way she thinks and the way she believes. That's who I'm going to be in a relationship with. So I'll recognize the power of my mind if I use my body to reach her mind.
Thank God.
Thank God. Because people are going to give you the body if you connect with their mind. And when I say the body, I'm not just talking about the physical body. I'm talking about the body of their experience. They'll let you into their experience. Okay? So if I do that, he says, I realize the power of my mind. I realize how powerful my mind is if I use my body to reach your mind. Are we all appearing to breathe the same air? Okay, so the truth is, all of us are living off the same whatever it is. So that's a fair assumption? And it's flowing through our bodies, right? So we must really be that whatever it is that all of us are breathing. And not the body that is going through. Because you take away whatever it is that all of us are taking in to live, and the body will fall on the floor and die. But the body could fall on the floor, but the part of us that's in touch with whatever this is that's keeping us alive would still be existing. Because it never was the body. Obviously, it was whatever we're breathing in, whatever we're taking in, whatever this life force is. And since we're all partaking of it, we must all be it.
So when I use my body to make you aware of the power of your mind, then it makes me aware of the power of my mind. When I make you aware of the power of your mind, it simultaneously makes me aware of the power of my mind. So, if you use the body to reach another person through your body, to connect with their mind, he says you can't use it for attack if you're doing that. So what you're really experiencing is you're letting your body be of service. In other words, in the service of uniting, your body becomes a beautiful lesson in joining and communion. I'm using my body in the service of uniting us, so my body is a beautiful lesson in communion. That's all well and good, but I want a boyfriend. that's all well and good, but I need to bring a new car. Okay, thank you for letting me know that, but.
Number later.
I will. See, we don't realize is that by getting in touch with the power of our mind that all our needs are easily taken care of. So your body really has a lot of value until you achieve what it is you're trying to achieve. But as soon as you achieve what you're trying to achieve, then what helped you achieve it no longer has any value. So I keep using my body to join with all of you all until joining with all of you all really happens. When joining with you all really happens, then I really won't need a body. Because the purpose of it was to help me join with you. But once I change my tire, I don't need the jack anymore. But I'm not going to abuse the jack while the tire is flat. You know. See what happens when people see it? You can always tell when people see it. You know?
Jacked up.
You know what I'm saying?
That ain't right.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's when your jack is off. All of y'all be wondering when the lightning bolt gonna hit sometime. Okay. Isn't it hard to imagine that there could be a time when you didn't need a body and you still existed? Mm-hmm. And don't your mind tell you that if you didn't have the body, somehow or another you'd be losing out on a whole lot of pleasure? So isn't that kind of interesting that we completely stay at this level of consciousness so that we can experience the pleasures of the body that we're too guilty to let ourselves have? But we think that's what it's all about. But okay, if that's what it's all about, why aren't you enjoying it? If you're sticking around because of your body, well, why don't you use it in the service of joining? Enjoy. Since you're insisting on staying. That's an interesting question, isn't it? Yeah, because most people, you know, you mentioned them being something more than the body, they actually feel uncomfortable, but yet you see them in the body looking miserable. So you got going, what's up? What's up with that? Well, if you don't mind me telling you, Bob, the problem is I'm pretty depressed because it's been a long time since I've seen a lot of people that I thought I could get something out of. I used to be surrounded by them. I was popular. There was over 100-some people at my 30th birthday party. I couldn't pay that many people to come to a birthday party. I was surrounded by all these people. Like, I could get something from them, and I could get something from them. They thought they could get something from me, and we were all excited to see each other. We danced. That's what you do when you're with somebody you can get something from. It's a ritual. It's a ritual. It's a ritual. Don't you want to get it? So what you do is, like, you're doing that, you go, you know, I want to reach your mind. I want to reach your mind.
That's the first thing I'm thinking of.
That's right. You will meet, you can meet the most spectacular people you could ever want to meet as far as fulfilling any desires you have, even sexual desires. But as you begin to wake up, you'll meet people that'll please you because it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Those are the most spectacular people you'll ever meet. They just do things because it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't really affect who I really am. We're still the same. So if that's a pleasure you like movies, let's go, because it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. That's the least I could do. No problem. Oh, you think if you really had somebody to hold you in your arms and cuddle you and hold you tight and touch you and love on you all night long, then at that point you'll be ready to go to a higher level of spiritual awareness and consciousness, because you're just not going to go to another level until you have that experience.
Right.
Okay? Then you're going to meet yeah. Beings that go, all right, let's have that experience right now. Mm-hmm. It's going to freak you out because we're so used to having to try to get that we don't know how to respond to it being given.
Uh-huh.
So I'm used to having to try to get it. And what's really the trip is anybody you can think of exists so love can come to you in any form that completely turns you on. Mm-hmm. If you don't judge it. Because judging it is saying, don't let it happen. Mm-hmm. That's what judgment is saying. Don't let it happen to me. Mm-hmm. See, there's just one mind that I'm already in communication with everybody that could love me right now. Mm-hmm. All I have to do is just be what I want to have. That's all I got to do. I just got to be the kind of person I want to have. Because being and having are the same thing. You cannot not have what you are. But you're always missing what you're not. Now think about that. I could write the first book that was burned in ages. Okay.
Yes, I will receive whatever I request.
I will receive whatever I request because I've already received what I've requested. Mm-hmm. You know. Okay. I think I tried to do a little bit more of this. Are you up to it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, okay. What I'd like you to do then, on the count of three, I want you to pretend you have enthusiasm. Okay, let's go. One, two, three. You ready for some more? Right. Now, wouldn't that be great when you walked in the room, that's the way people responded? Could you handle it?
Yeah.
You have that test. I promise you, you have that test if you stay on this path. I've had that test a lot of times. Well, the biggest one I had was in Cracker Barrel, which is like a restaurant. I'll never forget that. You have to be clear about these things when you're going to count. You have to look at it. I walked in the Cracker Barrel. It was like this big old country kind of restaurant on the side of the highway. Not too long after class that I had done in Memphis, Tennessee. And everybody had already left. And I walked in Cracker Barrel. It was like people from all over the South. You know, and so it's a real interesting racial climate in the South.
with the black and white folks. You know, they basically they can't stand each other. Okay, so so I walked in, and so picture this now. I'm this, you know, I'm this black dude, right? And there's like tables of people, and then I walk in, and then all the people that were there had been in my class, and so they spontaneously started to applaud and scream and yell. So you could imagine what that looked like to the other white people. That you So what we did was we gave a demonstration of what it means to use your body for love and for joining. It transformed the whole place. But it was a big test because I felt very self-conscious and I felt very embarrassed to be the focal point of that much attention, even though that's what I always thought I wanted to experience, was that recognition. And so I started to have a series of tests that was all about how much good can you handle. And I wasn't used to that test. I was used to the test of, can I be happy with having nothing I want? But if you keep on expressing the truth and learning the truth and studying the truth, and then you go to the truth every time your ego or your old self tries to give you some grief, and you go straight to the truth because you feel miserable, and you go, what are you doing? Just the opposite of what that part of you wants you to do. The part of you that's trying to cause you pain wants you to throw the truth away every time you go through some pain. So if you go to the truth when you're in pain, you're doing the opposite of what the part of you that wants you to be in pain wants you to do. The part of you that wants you to be in pain wants you to throw away your truth, your values, your beliefs, and going back to that attack mode the way you used to be. So the worst time in the world not to practice the truth is when you're the most miserable. Because then you're telling your old self all it has to do is make you miserable and you'll stop anything you're trying to do. So it just piles on the misery because you're going to buckle. But if it got you, if it understood that, oh, okay, I'm going up and down the elevator. I'm gonna study harder tonight. I'm gonna use anything that happens to me to remind me to focus on the truth. But then that part of me that's using pain to keep me away from the truth will stop because now I'm using the pain to remind me of the thing that the pain is supposed to make me forget: the truth. I'm using the pain to remember the truth when I used to use the pain to cover up the truth. So the part of me that wants to keep me in pain is not going to keep giving me pain if I'm going to use the pain to go to the truth, which gets rid of the pain.
Yeah. Woo!
The part of us that wants to be in pain is not very pleased. Okay. It's the very moment. It's plotting our demise. It is. Enjoy it now, but I'm going to get you later. Okay. Especially when you're by yourself and away from all these other nuts. Because the ego said, we're crazy. Mm-hmm. And there are people that will walk in off the street and hear what I'm talking about right now about not being biased. Mm-hmm. And they listen to what I'm saying. They look at y'all. Mm-hmm. They look at me. Then they look back at y'all. And then they run. They think they had walked into some kind of a strange cult. You know what I'm saying? I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So that means the sanest people are the people you don't see. Would you agree that most people are unaware of us?
Yeah.
So what are you unaware of?
Yeah.
It's not like you know everything or you're aware of everything. Just like we exist and everybody's not aware of us, who thinks differently from us and who's afraid of what we would be, right? But we do exist, and as a matter of fact, we're sitting in a normal looking house on a normal looking street right across the street from people who probably think totally different, right?
Right.
There are houses all up and down the street that we can't see in. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more sane, loving people than you can imagine.
They just wouldn't have anything to do with us.
No. You can't see them yet. They're not.
And the fact that we can't see them is not an accident. The reason why they're invisible is because that's the easiest way for them to help us, because we're so insane, we attack what helps us. That's why God is invisible. For its own safety. God ain't no fool. Y'all, you will not see me until you're more loving. Because then I don't mind being in your presence, because I will be saved. But until you're saved, I'll just be non-physical. That's the safest way to be with you. So the things that love you the most are the things you can't even see. Isn't that pretty obvious? Do you often say, I don't see nobody that really loves me? You don't. You see people that are just as afraid as you are.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get out of it by using our bodies to let love and truth reach up through us to each other, and to use our bodies to love each other and laugh with each other and support each other. And that's how you get out of the world of fear. Thank you for listening to this much with me tonight. God be. Don't you encourage me. Don't you encourage me. I'm telling you. I do more for people who seem like they appreciate me. I'm just like that. Aren't you? Isn't it amazing how you just do a lot more for the people that you feel like have some enthusiasm and appreciation for you? You know you're in the right relationship when you come home and whoever that is waiting for you wag their tail like a dog. And be as happy as a dog is. Be as happy like your pet, just be freaking out when you come in the door. That's the way your partner's supposed to be. The same way, like, oh man, I can't wait. And you can't see them right now because they have to love you from an invisible space until you get to the point you can treat them right. And that way you don't make no more negative karma because there's nobody for you to abuse. So that's what freaks people out. They go through that stage where there's people to abuse and to be abused by, because y'all don't know how to love each other. And then you start becoming conscious, and you go in that stage where it's just you and you don't have nobody to abuse, so that you can make more karma, so that you can learn how to really love, so that when that invisible love becomes visible, you'll be on a level that you can use your body to join and enjoy.
Oh, hell yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So if you're in a stage right now where it looks like there's nobody for you to abuse in the name of love, it's a good thing. And because what you do, because you have an invisible sense, and you can just handle it with yourself. That's the way you learn how to see your body as innocent. You can't expect nobody else to want to touch something that you feel weird touching. That'd kind of spook them out. You know what I'm saying? Could you imagine getting ready to make love to somebody and they walk in the room and they going, they don't even want to appreciate themselves. So why in the world would you feel like it would be natural for you to want to appreciate them? They think something is wrong with them. You might want to take a hint. I think I'm ugly. Well, maybe you must really be ugly. And I think you're beautiful. Obviously, I need to pay attention to what you think about yourself, because the way you think about yourself is the way you're going to think about me, which means no matter how much I love you, if you don't love yourself, you're going to belittle me, because you got to see me as little as you see you. So I need to be cool. I need to understand that before I even get involved with you. You're going to have to think more highly of yourself if you want to go out with me. You're going to have to want to be loved some more than this. You got to be able to handle compliments better than this. Because if you don't, you're never going to see the beauty that I am, because your own perception of yourself is so little. How could you see my greatness? So you're going to mistreat me because you think I'm like you. Yeah, and so we're going to that place where we can go, hey, you know what? This is what I've been working for. This is what I deserve. This is what I've been wanting. This is my purpose. What's showing up is the stuff I've been coming to these blasted classes for and stuff. It's actually showing up, and I'm going to let it in. I am going to allow it. I didn't say get it. I'm going to allow it. I'm going to allow, from this moment forward, I allow it. My peace, I allow it. My abundance, I allow it. My fun, I allow it. Mm-hmm. Allow it.
Yeah.
Allow the love offering.
Allow the love offering.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Don't forget the ritual. Don't forget the ritual. How many of y'all like to dance? Anybody here like to dance?
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Let me pass this thing. We're going to have to dance sometimes.
Yeah.
We're going to have to dance something. We've got to get out of our heads all the freaking time. We're going to have to move.
Everything is natural to us. We taught ourselves that it's not natural. And then you wonder why we're miserable sometimes. But it's getting better for me. Is it getting better for anybody else? Yeah, it's definitely improving. I'm not going to sit up here and act like, you know, it's not really improving, because it's just getting better and better and better. Because we're talking like this and we're reaching each other. So God bless each and every one of you.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. So can we acknowledge each other?
I'm so glad you don't have anything I want.
That's for y'all the next time. Maybe.